Right, 807 FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Week out from Fat Tuesday. Lachey's roll tonight, 6:30. Dr. Bill says a chance of showers in the mix. Temperatures seem fine, but a chance of showers will be plaguing us throughout the week. More from Dr. Bill coming up at around 8:35, plus turning up your voice this hour at 343-0106. It's also Tuesday. We check in with our buddy Quinn Hillier from the eponymously entitled QuinnHillier.com. Also the author of Mad Jones Heretic, the trilogy, right, Quinn?
Yes, indeed, the trilogy, and they're all out at Amazon, and I really wish you would order them, read them, enjoy them, and give them a good review on Amazon.
Yeah, they can pick up the entire trilogy and then stack it on their bedside and just work down the list here.
Yeah, but it'll be a good fun read.
Good deal. I think we need more of those these days. All right. And of course, talk about a couple things here and a story just up this morning within the last, I just saw it in the last couple minutes here over at WashingtonExaminer.com. Democrats block bill to stop infanticide. Politico smears Republicans for the effort. Let's run through this. What exactly is a Senate bill that was rejected? What was part of this bill? Kind of describe the bill to us.
Okay, let me preface this by saying you'll notice I've been on this show with you for a long, long time, and I almost never talk about abortion or abortion-related topics because even though I'm pro-life, I have respect for other people's opinions, and I don't want to sound like it's just something that I don't like to get into on the air.
But it's also a discussion that ends up, I've been doing this a long time, we can have the discussion when something like this late-term stuff comes out. I think it's worth discussing, but I think the cement is pretty dry on people's opinions.
Exactly. So that's why I usually avoid it. But this is not a bill about abortion. It would not have stopped a single abortion, but what it would have stopped is infanticide. This is the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. There are cases that couple hundred cases every year where there is an attempted abortion, but the baby lives. And in New York and Virginia and Vermont, they've literally now passed bills that would extend the supposed abortion right even beyond the birth itself.
That's the thing. I want you to just, because it seems almost unbelievable that this would be codified into law, that people would vote to say that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. So as a response to these bills going across the state that say that it's an abortion even after the baby's outside the body and breathing on its own, and that that somehow because it was an attempted abortion, you can still kill it later. Okay, because of that, Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska has been trying to push through a bill in Congress to say, no, once the baby is on its own in the light of day, you must treat it as if it was any other live birth, meaning that it has all the rights of citizenship, and you not only cannot kill it, but you cannot abandon it to die. You must treat it like you would treat any other infant. Very simple stuff. It shouldn't even have to be said.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a living, breathing human being by no definition. Not even any strained, bizarre definition is this a fetus. This is a baby, and it says these babies have the right to be treated like and protected like any other babies. That's it. That's simple. And yet, 44 Democrats filibustered this bill to block this bill last night to protect the ability of doctors to do infanticide. That's all it is. It is infanticide. This is killing babies after they're born. And so, obviously, if you see things the way people have seen things through millennia of human existence, all the way up until, figuratively speaking, yesterday, a baby born alive is a baby. And therefore, you cannot kill it. You cannot murder it. Okay. So, That's bad enough that the Democrats are now on record, 44 of the 47 on record in favor of infanticide. But how does Politico treat it? Politico is supposed to be a straight news organization, and this is in its straight news section. And the story is not about what the bill does or how they voted, et cetera. No, this is a story about how evil Republicans are to try to stick it to the Democrats by making the Democrats vote on this. Okay, this is the headline. Senate defeats anti-abortion bill, which, by the way, it's not abortion, it's live birth, but it says, Senate defeats anti-abortion bill as GOP tries to jam Dems. That's what this is all about, according to Politico, is it has nothing to do with conscience, has nothing to do with Ben Sasse and company being horrified at the idea of babies that are lying there on the table being killed. It has nothing to do with them being sincere. It's all a cynical political ploy. If you think maybe the headline writer was just exaggerating or mistaking what the story said, no. You go to the lead sentence. The very lead sentence says Democrats, voted, or the Senate. It didn't say Democrats. It said the Senate voted to reject a bill that was, quote, part of a Republican effort to squeeze Democrats ahead of the 2020 campaign.
Yeah.
This is unconscionable journalism. This is saying that rather than treat it neutrally, you're going to present this entire story by headline and by lead, and then if you go read paragraph after paragraph, as nothing more than a cynical ploy by Republicans to make poor little victimized Democrats look bad. That's sick.
Quinn, just clicking on the author's name there on that Politico story, her name, Alice Holstein.
Yeah.
And it looks like she was a writer, says she wrote covered federal policy and politics for Talking Points before she was hired by Politico to be the healthcare reporter. Now, Talking Points, a very, very progressive website with some far left-leaning articles there. Do you think for Politico, who traditionally, before the last so many years, you'd think they were a straight news source, that they're giving it to you right down the line, no left or right bias as much as possible. But to have a former Talking Points journalist on there, that seems disingenuous.
That's a great point, Dalton. I mean, again, with a very rare exception, if you write for a conservative-leaning, thought magazine, or a conservative-leaning think tank, you will never get into so-called mainstream straight news reporting. But you can write for the most left-wing sites. You can even work for a left-wing organization like Common Cause and go and be hired straight as a straight news reporter by the Washington Post, the New York Times, Politico, The Hill, you name it. If you're liberal, that's not bias. Oh, that's just, you just care about people. If you're conservative, no, you can never do straight news because you're obviously biased. That's their rule, and it plays out in articles like this that take a very straightforward story. You don't have to take my assessment of what this bill is. All you have to do is play it straight. I can, as a trained journalist, do this in my sleep, write a story that plays it straight. You would never know what my opinion on the bill is, but you would get both sides of the bill. You would get the background of the bill that talks about the New York and Vermont and Virginia laws.
Right.
You would get context, and you would not have adjectives, and you would not put quotes up there that tend to make you believe one thing or another only. You would play it straight, and it is a mark of professionalism. Instead, these people turn a bill against infanticide into a Republican, cynical, political, manipulative ploy for the 2020 elections, which, by the way, are a whole 21 months away. Wouldn't you think that if Republicans were really being cynical, they would wait until election year to do something like this, if this was about the election rather than about actually saving babies?
Yeah, and I think what's key here, and you said it, and Dalton said it as well, and people can see the lack of it in this article from Alice Ohlstein. The background, the reasoning for Senator Sasse's bill is the background. You lay out what is happening in other states, because without that context there in the beginning paragraphs of this story, it reads completely differently. People will say, well, they just came up with this out of whole cloth, when in fact it was a reaction to what had been done in states.
Exactly. It was a reaction to what had been done in the states, and a reaction to the movie Gosnell, which, you know, had that terrible abortionist who was doing all kinds of horrible things to babies and was arrested for it. And to also news stories about babies actually being born alive and killed. So he's reacting to things that are actually legitimately in the news, and in all sincerity, Ben Sasse puts forward this bill. And then to show how biased the story was, Ben Sasse gave this long, sincere, heartfelt speech on the Senate floor about what he was trying to do. He had all sorts of, you know, appeals to, you know, the old cliche, the better angels of our nature. He said all sorts of wonderful, warm things. In it, there were three sentences saying to Democrats, "I don't understand why you're opposing this." And he had one line about, maybe this is a clap track for the campaign trail and for soundbite. So he has one line in there about the politics in the midst of about a 10-minute speech. Guess what is the only line Politico quotes?
Yeah, the clap track.
It's the political line.
Yeah.
Does not give him credit for sincerity, does not quote his actual explanation for why the bill is needed.
And this is the problem, you know, when people talk about fake news stories or not trusting the media, they'll say, well, they made something up. I said, quite often it's omission versus commission. I mean, this is a prime example of the omission versus commission. The things that are laid out here are true. The quotes are true. But when you omit the other quotes, you omit the context, then it reads completely differently.
Well, especially if not only do you omit the context, which you're absolutely right about, but then you go out of your way to provide context that is dubious at best. In this case, the context that you've heard the expression straining at a gnat. They were straining to find every example they could of conservatives talking about this in political terms, and they put every example of conservatives talking politically rather than in terms of conscience, and they just strung them all together, and then they had a bunch of quotes from Democrats saying, woe is me, these people are not sincere, they're trying to jam us. And that becomes the story. Rather than a straightforward story would say, this was what the bill did, this was how they voted, this was what Republicans said about the importance and the meaning of the bill, and this is what the Democrats said about the importance and meaning of the bill. That's straight, that's even, that's factual, it's not opinion. That's how you do news, but that's not how Politico does it.
Now, of course, I'm an editorialist and not a journalist, but I would think if I'm writing this story, I'm always looking at the man bites dog angle. So I would be looking for quotes from Democrat Senators Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, Doug Jones of Alabama, and Joe Manchin of West Virginia, why they voted with the Republicans. You know, that would be, I would say, three Democrats went with the Republicans voting for this, and we talked to one or three or two of them, and they said this.
Right. No, they don't get a voice. The only Democrats that get a voice are the ones that saying these Republicans are being so mean to us.
You got to look at Quinn's article, Washington Examiner, and also go back, I think, because we're going to keep everything in context. I want folks, don't you think it's important they read the Politico story and look at what's done there, see what we're talking about, and then read your take on this?
Yeah, the Politico story, again, is called Senate Defeats Anti-Abortion Bill as GOP Tries to Jam Dems. And just remember when you read it, this bill does not stop an abortion. It stops life of a baby after it was born.
There it is. Here. Quinn, well-written and well-timed, and I'm glad you bring this up to a national audience as well. Remind folks, too, they want to get in this discussion with you over on Twitter. How do they find you?
They find me at Quinn Hillier. One N on Quinn and two L's on Hillier.
And tell folks, too, if they want to go to the website, we can subscribe over there as well.
QuinnHillier.com. Easy enough.
Good
thank
stuff.
You.
Hey, thank you. And we're gonna talk off air and figure out next week's show because it's going to be Fat Tuesday. And I will be in no shape to be here, so we'll work that out.
I think it'd be fun if you showed up.
I'll tell you something. 822 FM Talk 106.5. We're going to the phones next, 343-0106. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. All right, got a note back from my friends with Families of the Fallen as we're stacking that float up with throws. It is not full yet. So today, y'all, let's make this happen. Let's get the float absolutely full. More details on their website, but I'll run through just in Sullivanese here what's happening. So,
okay.
Family of the Fallen is a local charity, 501c3. And by the way, there's a great story Katarina Lukatic did with News 5 that's up. I linked it through on the Twitter feed. It's on our Facebook as well. So the story is a local charity that's staffed by members of law enforcement, 100% volunteer. Nobody's getting paid here. 100% volunteer. All the money goes to the families. And they do things year-round. These are the families of law enforcement officers killed in the line of duty or have severe injuries in the line of duty. And they do things throughout the year. But right now, what they're doing for Mardi Gras is they've gotten a float. One of the Mystic organizations has donated the float, and this float will be leading the floral parade on Saturday. Okay, and it has a law enforcement theme. Lucky, I guess, from last year or this year, that group had the law enforcement theme, already has an officer on it. And you've got 27 people, 9 families with 3 each, and it's the children and the spouses of members of law enforcement that have been killed in the line of duty or severely injured. They are on the float, and they will be riding and throwing. And the idea here is, as throughout the year, they're just trying to do things to help these families deal with the loss of that loved one, that member of law enforcement. So in this case, to get their minds off it for a little bit, what can be more fun and a good distraction, riding in the floral parade on Saturday. So what we're doing, along with Family of the Fallen is doing, we're helping out, is to stack the float full of throws. Now, here's how you can make your donation. You can either donate the actual throws or cash check or money order. You can stop by MPD Precinct Number 2, Number 4, or Headquarters. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There you can donate your throws. You can donate cash check or money order. Or you can go by Gulf Coast Beads, and Chuck McKay over there will take your order. In other words, you can be over there if you're getting beads for yourself or throws or whatever. You can just show up there and say, okay, I want to buy this many moon pie cases, this many beads, this many cups, whatever, glow noise stick things, which, by the way, they threw a lot of those the other night. and thank you, revelers, for throwing those, because my son was using it to make noise and hit me in the back of the head.
He was using it as a weapon?
Yes, like he does everything. So, so whatever the throws you want to get, you get those, and you say, okay, I want to buy these for Family of the Fallen and load in the float. So Chuck will do that at his cost and set those aside. Then the folks from Families of the Fallen will come by, pick those up, and take those and put those on the float. They told me just now the cutoff is going to be Thursday, because I guess they got to, get preloaded on the float and all that. So Thursday is the cutoff. So once again, make your cash or throws donation. And, even if you had a bunch of throws at the house, bag them up, get them organized, bag them up, and you could take them in as well. You already have those throws. Get them out of the house. Take them down to Precinct 2, 4, or Police Headquarters across from Whataburger on Government Street. Donate them there. Donate cash. Donate check or money order. Or, like we said, go buy Gulf Coast Beads and make that donation as well. And we'll get that float loaded. Hopefully, we'll have that done well before Thursday. I know y'all can do it. So help us out. More details on our Facebook page, on the Twitter feed, or you can go just Google Families of the Fallen, and you'll get more info there. News break, and then we're coming right back with your calls at 343-0106.
836 FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for getting your Tuesday started with Mobile Mornings. Right now, we head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, good morning, Dalton. How are you, big guy?
Hey, doing fantastic on this Tuesday. I know we're coming up on the end of February, just a couple days left. That means the deals at McConnell Automotive are great right now.
Yeah, buddy. I think what we're excited about, Dalton, is the pickup truck deal, which is our Sierra, the Z71s, and the new ones have come in, and people are buying those things up, Dalton. They're just going off the shelves fast. The new AT4, the new Denali, the new X31. But I'm telling you, the deal is on the 18 model Z71s and crew cabs, and every 1% that we give customers off, Dalton, saves them about $530. Well, we decided instead of 15% like our competitors that we would get crazy, and we've gone up to 18. We've even gone up to 20%. So if you do the math, that's like a $12,000 off a brand new truck. So I just want to invite everybody, don't wait past Thursday. And don't you know that our website is super cool. Just go to McConnellAutomotive.com and, you know, check out the deal on the brand new truck with the new body style versus the truck that we currently have, the 18 body style, and see which one suits you best. And Acadias are included, Yukons are included. Anything past Thursday, Dalton, I think people are going to lose out on a bunch of savings.
All right. Thank you, Mitch. Have a good one.
Y'all have a great day, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, we'll grab some calls at 343-0106 and also busy on the text line and on the Twitter feed. A couple stories here bouncing around, and we continue to talk about what Quinn mentioned. I mean, that's one of those examples, as you try to educate yourself, it's easy to just say, everything's fake news. Everything's not fake news. But there's times that when you look at the bias out there, there's commission and omission, and there have been some examples of commission. We've talked about those. Those are big, but those are less common. What's more common is what Quinn pointed out, and it's the omission.
Mm-hmm.
You lead off that Politico story without setting any reason why Senate Republicans would have brought this bill up. Just like, and then if you go...
Oh, the reason was to jam the Democrats.
Right, and then if you go and get Democrats, you know, talking points, then they're going to say it's all political. But you didn't set up... People could disagree with it and read it different ways, but you have to give the context. So many times, and politicians, we don't get... is one of the things that I think endears President Trump to so many people is he just says whatever. Now, he takes the arrows for it because you can pull things out of context. And listen, I'm also an open-eyed person. Sometimes when those quotes from the president are in context, they're of issue. But you pull things out of context... and you could do that, and it's done on all sides. It seems like somebody means something maybe they didn't. Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing is true here if you're writing a story and you're saying that the Senate Republicans brought a bill up, Senator Sass brought this bill up. Well, if you don't set the stage on why they brought it up, then it skews the entire rest of the story. So there's a lot more of that goes on, and that's what you ought to be watching for is the omission more than the commission. I mean, watch for both of them, but you'll see the omission more than the commission.
Well, let me ask you, because this author of this Politico article that we talked with Quinn about, she's originally from Talking Points Memo. That was the website
that she used to write
for. Talking Points is a far left-leaning, they call themselves a news site. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the Hot Air of the left. You know, okay. Hot Air is a far, not really far right, but it's a conservative-leaning website
on
the right. And Talking Points, I would say, would be kind of like it on the left side. Well, mm-hmm. Politico, even though their name's been drugged through the mud over the last few years, they are supposed to be a straight news site unless you're reading one of the opinion articles.
Right.
She writes for healthcare for Politico.
In the news side.
Well, my question, you remember that meme that was going around Twitter, the dress? Do you see it gold? Do you see it blue?
Yes.
Did she intentionally sit down and write an article like this and say, how can I slant this so that it seems... like the Republicans were doing this completely as a political move to jam up the Democrats, as she wrote in her right. Headline, or did she sit down to write this article and write it the way that she saw what was happening? Did she, and if she did that, is it on her that she writes such a biased news article, or is it on Politico for hiring her?
Okay, well, or nobody in the editing saying, hey, is this this isn't the entire story?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Politico quite often, I would agree with your premise that they are down the middle. I look at Politico stories on a lot of stuff that goes on in Washington. They kind of, I don't think I've read her work before, but other writers for Politico, it's pretty much just the facts, and you know, this senator said this and this person said that, and here's the issue, and here are the five things to be watching for, mm-hmm. whatever. Those are good takes. In this, nothing that she wrote was inaccurate. They were facts that she put in the story. But when you don't put the context of why the Republicans would have brought up the bill in the first place, then everything else is, you know, fruit of the poison tree going forward.
Yeah. So,
and get your take on that at 343-0106. Plus, we'll talk some gas tax increase. And the governor has Governor Ivey has a presser tomorrow up in Maplesville. Talking about, there's no way if you have the name Maplesville for a town, you could ever become a city. Maplesville,
no.
There would never be a big Maplesville.
No, if they do a sequel to the Andy Griffith Show.
Maplesville.
Move from Mayberry to Maplesville.
Maplesville, yeah. So, but we'll talk about that. Also, Gulf Shore is seeking funding for their pedestrian bridge over the canal. And and having some fun on Twitter with a discussion here of them finding glyphosate, which is the lead chemical in Roundup, and they're finding it in beers and wine now. And it's bad news because as a guy that uses Roundup and glyphosate products on the farm and at the house, I worry about getting more in my system. And now that it's coming through the beer, I'm going to be in real trouble. That's the bad news. Good news is then I can kill weeds all over the yard. I can walk around and I can refill the tank there, you know, a 12-ounce at a time. And
you're always looking at the bright side of things. I think this might, the hippies might come after that beer. You know, if it's the new hot thing to have the glyphosate in the beer, lots of hippies might start drinking that.
Yeah, it's the problem is that if any of my kinfolk figure it out that that's the way, then I'll have to drink a bunch of those beers and then stand on the back of the 5525 John Deere going down through the fields on spray and rose. Okay, before I get in trouble, let's go to the phones. John is in Mobile. Hey, John.
I was just going to ask if they've figured out how much through the recycling process gets lost in the filter.
Yeah, I don't know what that'll be the next thing. If they test, okay, here's the level in the beer, and then here's the post product. I don't know.
All right, can I change the subject a bit?
Sure.
Months ago, you started talking about that the rowing race, the whiskey.
Fight or die, yeah, the fight or die team in the Talisker Whiskey Challenge.
I'm still watching the site. There is a girl, there's a solo, and her name is Storm Petrel, and she's got like 50 or 60 nautical miles left to go. She's the last one. I mean, somebody needs to buy that girl a beer when she gets to
Antigua. Yeah, what John's talking about, so we followed the team Fight or Die for a couple of reasons. Number one, what a story about four veterans rowing across the Atlantic to bring attention to PTSD, but also Bryant Knight, one of those veterans, a Mobile native, that crew trained here at Buccaneer Yacht Club. So we followed the story. I got to tell you that I was bad because once they landed in Antigua, the team, I stopped watching. I took the app off my phone. So you're telling me that there's, because they left December 6th or 12th, was it? It's somewhere around early December from La Gomera in the Canary Islands to row across. And there's still somebody here pushing March?
One girl.
God bless
British,
her. God bless her.
By herself in a solo. And I'm just like, Lord have mercy. What is it, 60 days she's been out?
Wow. And I guess there's still going to be, somebody's going to be waiting for her, watching her. They're not going to just...
No, they can't just leave her.
Can't just say, oh, we folded up shop, bye.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any news articles about her.
I guess they could.
Wow.
In all sincerity, this thing has been fascinating to watch. Thank y'all for hooking this thing up, talking to these guys locally, because it has been fascinating to watch. I cannot imagine 3,000 miles to row.
And she's doing it on her own. The fight or die team, of course, has four of them that took turns in their 28-foot rowboat. You know, across, she's doing it on her own. I don't care when she finishes. If she finishes this thing, she's my hero. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, good point. I will keep an eye on it. I'll go back and look. I've been delinquent in that since our team kind of got in. I've not paid attention, but I will go back. So if someone is still out there rowing, we'll look into it. John, thanks for bringing that up. Appreciate it.
I hope she can catch a flight back to wherever she starts. I hope she doesn't have to turn around and row back.
Yeah, I think it's a one-way
row. Might take a while.
Yeah, because the teams had to, I remember the fight or die teams had to send their boat 28-foot Kevlar rowing boat. They had to ship it out. Like, I was talking to them one of the times on the show, and they said, yeah, we got to leave tomorrow the next day. I said, that's real early. And they said, no, well, we got to go to Charleston, where they were putting that rowboat on a container ship to send it over. I think first they sent it to Spain or something, and then from there they transferred it down to the Canary Islands. So pretty interesting stuff. John, thanks for bringing that up. All right, coming right back, more of Mobile Mornings right here at FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings, 55 now, heading for high in the mid-60s, says Dr. Bill. As showers in the mix for tonight, hopefully they will happen before or after the Lachey's roll tonight, 6:30. And, of course, we have rain day tomorrow. Then what, got the Stripers Thursday, and then it's headlong into Fat Tuesday with all the parades, like the crew riding on Friday night and all the parades. I mean, there's a whole bunch. The whole stack is listed over at our website, fmtalk1065.com. Also mentioned the Families of the Fallen float that they're doing that's leading the floral parade. Pretty cool, a friend of mine, and he texted me. He said, I'll match dollar for dollar up to $250 for throws.
Awesome.
Okay,
that's
so
great.
This is a guy I know where he lives. I can go get, so he's in for $250. Let's do this. Y'all go ahead and match that, and we'll go ahead and make y'all's donation for $500 to buy throws for these families. Because once again, if you haven't got a chance to look at the website or any of the stories on this, these are all family members of law enforcement officers that have been killed in the line of duty or severely injured. Their family members are going to be on the float, leading the floral parade on Saturday. So I want to make sure we all know that, too. So when they come out, I'm standing there with the family or whatever, give them a super big cheer as they come by. And, they would load the float with throws, and then they'll throw the throws to us. It's the way it works.
So. Great return, yeah. And I can't wait to see the reception they get from Mobile as they round the corner and as they head through the streets leading the floral parade. I imagine that everyone there at the parade, whether they already know about it, know what to see the Family of the Fallen leading the whole parade, or whether they just see the float and read, I'm sure they'll have some stuff that shows you who's on the float, that they're going to get a big cheer from the crowd.
All right, looking through a bunch of text here about what Quinn had to say earlier. Supermom says, see, and that is the definition of fake news. The media is not saying the real truth about the bill, what the Republicans mean. Yeah, and you're right. I just want to, sometimes people think fake news means the story is just an entirely made up story. And there have been absolute examples of that, of what I call commission. But quite often what you'll see more of are omission stories. And that's one of these where they don't put it in context. They report the facts they report in the story are true. And you can go Google them and all the things are true. But because it's not in context, it gives a different impression. David says, I don't always agree with Quinn, but he was spot on this topic. Good job. Let's see. Yeah, a lot of people cheering this. So you just need to... Okay, yeah, and people saying, yeah, they support it. And I want you to go read the two articles. I think it's good. I want you to read the Politico article first and then read Quinn's take.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to see the real... You don't want to just... Too much of what happens, I think, at talk radio is you just talk about a story and nobody ever goes, go read it so you see what we're talking about. And then you can agree or disagree. But I think you're going to see what is missing. There is the reason the bill was brought up in the first place.
I'm interested to see once some of these Democrats are made available for press conferences, you know, whether it's Pelosi or AOC or any of the 44 Democrats that voted against this anti-infanticide bill,
mm-hmm.
They better be asked about it. You're not a journalist if you don't ask them. It doesn't even have to be in a slanted way. I mean, the name of the bill has anti-infanticide, mm-hmm. according to Quinn, in the title. So ask them about that. I know that the Republicans will be ready to say what the Democrats were actually voting against when they voted no on this.
What I would have looked for here, just the way my mind works, if I was writing the story, is the second paragraph. It says the vote split mainly among party lines, 53 to 44. Democratic Senators Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, Doug Jones of Alabama, and Joe Manchin of West Virginia crossed the aisle to vote for it. In other words, they voted with the Republicans. if I'm looking for what is the news angle, yeah, you can ask some of the Democrats that voted against it, but I'd be interested to get commentary. I would talk to these Democratic senators, Casey, Jones, or Manchin, say, why did you side with the Republicans on this one? That would be the interesting, if I'm trying to write an article. Same thing would happen, y'all. I would be the same way. I think if you've listened any time, you'd know that if there was a bill that three Republicans crossed over and voted with Democrats, then I'd probably be more interested in the three Republicans that crossed over and voted with Democrats. I'd say, here's what Democrats say, here's what Republicans say, but there are some from this party that crossed over the aisle. This is why they did it. Well, that seems like that would be a pertinent part of the story.
And that's how you know it's a contentious subject, because they're so split along party lines up there now that anytime somebody from one side flips to the other side, unfortunately, I think this whole anti-infanticide measure is going to be lost in all the news that we've got coming in, because now the Democrat House today, they're supposed to announce the measure that would not allow the president to use funds from other parts of the government to fund the border wall, that emergency declaration. And I'm reading that three Republicans in the Senate are ready to flip over to their side.
So if you write that story today, you need to interview one or three of those Republicans that flipped over, because that would be the man bites dog angle. Why did these Republicans and that's doing your job.
And, you know, I think I read that article on Politico, and they did have comment from those three Republicans. I don't think it was the same writer who wrote that who wrote that story about the abortion measure, but you got Tom Tillis, Lisa Murkowski, and Susan Collins, they've all joined the 47 Democrats.
First time they've sided with Democrats on it, but it's still worth it. If you are a journalist in Washington, you're doing Capitol Hill beat, you ask those senators why they did it.
Exactly. Unfortunately, I think, you know, Quinn wrote about it, and we've talked about it this morning, but I doubt that any national news is going to take this up. Maybe Fox News will talk about it, because, I mean, we're talking about infanticide here. And it's lost in the rest of the news.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, check it out. Read those. They're linked through on our Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. And also in really important news, I'm still stuck on this press release thing that they put up on Yellowhammer. Former Trump staffer Anthony Scaramucci to speak in Tuscaloosa. Come, what is University of Alabama College Republicans? I hope y'all got get it for free or a very deep discount, because they have it headlined. Former White House Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci is coming to the University of Alabama. It's true, he was for what, 10 days? 10 days of embarrassment. He was the White House Communications Director. And now they're saying he's going to share his perspective on the nation's political climate, leadership lessons, and the importance of civic engagement. You remember the stuff he did before, during, and after his 10-day tenure?
Yeah, I mean, Cliff Sims wrote about it in the Team of Vipers book, and he said it was, I mean, I can't remember his exact quote, but it was like a tornado had come through. He lined everyone up, because remember, there were leaks coming out then, just like there. It seems like the leaks have slowed down from the White House as of recently, but Scaramucci, his job was to get in there and find the rat. And he lined them up, and he let everybody have it, even though he was a fresh face.
Well, okay, and you can say, well, that maybe it needed to happen or didn't need to happen inside the White House, but just go Google the stuff when he was on the cable news channels and stuff talking. He was an embarrassment. I mean, embarrassed President Trump, and now they're holding him up as, let's see, this is Mr. Scaramucci's longstanding commitment to leadership and service is inspiring, says Jake Moore, chairman of the UA College Republicans. Come on, man. Just call things as they are. You're talking about Scaramucci. Oh, man. All right, 8:58. Mike Gallagher on the way next. We'll see you at noon for Midday Mobile.